Good morning. Welcome to News Briefing, your daily dive into the stories shaping our world. I'm Arjiv.
And I'm Arohi, ready to bring you the headlines from across the globe.
On this day in history, May 18, back in 1953, American aviator Jacqueline Cochran became the first woman to break the sound barrier. A truly remarkable feat of human ingenuity and courage, pushing the boundaries of technology. And today, we're still pushing boundaries, bringing you the latest from sources like BBC News, The New York Times, US Top News and Analysis, and many more. Arohi, let's jump right into the heart of American politics, where new polling data is painting a challenging picture for the Republican Party.
That's right, Arjiv. A recent Times, Siena poll has revealed a significant shift in the political landscape, with former President Trump's approval rating hitting a new low of just 37%. This figure suggests a crack in the Republican polling floor, putting the party in new territory as the midterm elections loom. Despite some recent gains in redistricting efforts, this low approval rating for such a prominent figure could signal a big problem for the GOP as they look to maintain or expand their majorities. It indicates a potential struggle in mobilizing the base or appealing to swing voters, which is critical in an election cycle often seen as a referendum on the party out of power. This isn't just a number. It's a barometer of national sentiment that could influence campaigning strategies and candidate selection across the board. Furthermore, this internal analysis from the Times suggests that the GOP is encountering headwinds that even strategic redistricting might not fully overcome if voter enthusiasm among key demographics remains dampened.
That's a crucial piece of data to consider for the upcoming elections. And speaking of elections, the spotlight was recently on Georgia, a state known for its pivotal role in recent cycles. What happened in their primary?
In Georgia's primary elections, we saw a fascinating dynamic play out. Republicans largely dominated the spending landscape, pouring significant resources into their contentious races for governor and U.S. Senate. These were highly watched contests within the GOP, often seen as a battle for the party's future direction. On the other side, Democrats drove record turnout, showcasing a strong enthusiasm advantage. While Republicans battled it out for top state and federal positions, Democrats were strategically hoping that this surge in voter engagement would be enough to flip two state Supreme Court seats. This approach highlights a broader strategy for Democrats, leveraging grassroots enthusiasm to make gains at the judicial level, even in a state that has seen strong Republican performance in statewide races. The outcome will tell us a lot about the efficacy of these differing approaches and the evolving political currents within the state.
That record Democratic turnout certainly adds an interesting layer to the Georgia story. But the influence of former President Trump continues to be a major factor in Republican primaries across the country. We saw a high-profile example of this recently in Louisiana, didn't we?
Absolutely, Arjiv. The Louisiana Republican primary saw a significant upset, largely influenced by former President Trump's endorsement. Senator Bill Cassidy, who had voted to convict Trump during his impeachment trial, lost his primary bid. Trump had thrown his full support behind challenger Julia Letlow, branding the incumbent as disloyal. This played a decisive role, demonstrating the continued power of Trump's backing within the Republican Party. Letlow's victory underscores a trend where candidates aligned with Trump's political narrative and who receive his explicit endorsement are proving to be formidable challengers, even against long-serving incumbents. It's a clear message to other Republican lawmakers about the political consequences of diverging from the former president, especially on issues that he frames as fundamental. This dynamic is reshaping the Republican caucus in Congress, prioritizing loyalty to Trump over traditional party lines or voting records.
That certainly paints a vivid picture of the Republican landscape. Now, moving to another critical area that often intersects with politics, the Supreme Court. There's been a significant ruling recently concerning voting rights. What are the implications, particularly at the local level?
The Supreme Court's recent voting rights ruling could indeed have profound effects, particularly at the local level. Our findings indicate that this ruling threatens the power of racial minority voters in Voting Rights Act cases, not just concerning Congress but also in at least 17 state and local governments. This decision potentially redefines how electoral maps are drawn and how voting structures are challenged, making it more difficult for minority groups to assert their rights under the Voting Rights Act. At the state and local level, this could mean that attempts to dilute minority voting strength through gerrymandering or other means might become harder to contest legally. The impact could range from municipal elections to state legislative districts, potentially altering representation and access to political power for various communities across the country. It signals a shift in the legal framework that has historically protected these voters, creating new challenges for advocacy groups and civil rights organizations.
That's a concerning development for many communities. And in a rather unusual but insightful analysis, there's been research suggesting that democracy itself can be undermined in some unexpected places, specifically in human resources departments. Arohi, what's behind this idea that democracy dies in HR?
This is a fascinating piece of research, Arjav, shedding light on a less obvious but crucial mechanism for the maintenance of authoritarian power. The study suggests that mediocre employees in human resources departments can inadvertently or even deliberately help would-be authoritarians maintain control. The premise is that in organizations, or by extension, governments, HR departments often manage internal processes, promotions, disciplinary actions, and resource allocation. If these functions are handled by individuals who are either ideologically aligned with an authoritarian leader, or simply lack the courage, foresight, or competence to push back against questionable directives, they can become silent enablers. They might implement policies that suppress dissent, promote loyalists regardless of merit, or create an environment where independent thought is stifled. Essentially, the bureaucratic machinery, when operated by those who prioritize compliance over principles or by those who are simply ineffective, can be co-opted to solidify power structures that are antithetical to democratic values within an institution or even a nation. It's about how the mundane processes of administration can be weaponized.
An intriguing perspective on the subtle ways power can be consolidated. Now, shifting gears dramatically, a significant global health story has emerged, with the World Health Organization making a major declaration.
Yes, Arjav, the World Health Organization, or WHO, has officially declared the ongoing Ebola outbreak a global health emergency. This decision underscores the severity and potential for international spread of the virus, particularly impacting the Democratic Republic of Congo and Uganda. The declaration serves as a global call to action, mobilizing international resources and coordinated efforts to contain the outbreak and prevent it from spiraling further. It brings with it a set of recommendations for governments worldwide, including enhanced surveillance, stricter border health screenings, and coordinated research efforts for vaccines and treatments. The WHO's move is aimed at preventing complacency and ensuring that affected countries receive the necessary support to manage the crisis effectively, as the implications of such an outbreak extend far beyond national borders.
That's a critical declaration. And closer to home for many of our listeners, the CDC has confirmed that Americans have been directly impacted by this outbreak. What are the details there?
Indeed, Arjav, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC, confirmed on Sunday that a small number of U.S. citizens have been directly affected by the Ebola outbreak originating in the Democratic Republic of Congo and Uganda. While the exact number wasn't specified, the CDC's statement indicates that these individuals may have been exposed in the affected regions or have had direct contact with confirmed cases. This confirmation raises concerns and highlights the global interconnectedness of health crises, even those originating thousands of miles away. The CDC is actively monitoring the situation and coordinating with international health authorities to ensure the safety of U.S. citizens abroad and to prevent any potential spread domestically. This situation underscores the need for robust international public health infrastructure and rapid response mechanisms to protect populations worldwide.
That certainly brings the global health emergency into a more immediate context for many. Moving now to the economic and business front, where a familiar figure has weighed in on a major tech investment. Former President Trump has voiced some thoughts on an equity deal.
He certainly has, Arjav. Former President Trump recently stated that he should have asked for more of Intel when negotiating the U.S. equity deal in August. This deal gave the government a 9.9% stake in the chipmaker. Trump's comment comes as Intel's stock has soared significantly since the agreement was made, leading him to reflect on the terms of the initial negotiation. His statement highlights the fluctuating nature of market valuations and the challenges of striking a deal that remains optimal over time, especially in a rapidly evolving tech sector. For the government, owning a nearly 10% stake in a major chipmaker like Intel carries strategic importance, particularly in an era of heightened focus on domestic semiconductor production and supply chain resilience. Trump's retrospective comment, however, underscores the potential for massive gains that could have been realized had a larger stake been acquired.
An interesting hindsight observation from the former president. Now, turning our attention to humanitarian concerns, there's a grim report on the state of global aid and the emerging challenges in vulnerable regions.
This is a truly concerning report, Arjav. Catastrophe is reportedly emerging in the world's most vulnerable places, primarily due to a humanitarian relief system that has been decimated by cuts. This already strained system now faces a grave challenge as the ongoing Middle East war has caused soaring costs for essential commodities like food, fuel, and fertilizer. The conflict has disrupted supply chains, driven up energy prices, and made it incredibly expensive to deliver aid to communities already struggling with poverty, displacement, and instability. Organizations like USAID are finding their budgets stretched thin, unable to meet the escalating needs. This means that millions of people in regions like Somalia and other parts of the world are facing exacerbated food insecurity, limited access to healthcare, and a dire lack of basic necessities. The report paints a stark picture of a global humanitarian crisis unfolding, largely unseen by many in more affluent nations.
That's a heartbreaking situation. And staying with the Middle East, the geopolitical landscape there continues to shift, creating new dynamics. One surprising development involves Syria and the Strait of Hormuz.
You're right, Arjav. The latest war in the Middle East has inadvertently created new economic opportunities for Syria, thanks to its unique geography. With the Strait of Hormuz facing potential blockades or increased instability due to the conflict, global shipping routes and energy transit points are being reevaluated. Syria, with its Mediterranean coastline and existing infrastructure, could become a more viable alternative or supplementary route for oil and goods. This geopolitical shift could allow Syria to leverage its position as a transit hub, potentially attracting investment or trade that would otherwise go through the Persian Gulf. While the country still faces immense challenges, this unexpected development offers a glimmer of potential economic revival by positioning itself as a strategic alternative in a volatile region.
A surprising turn of events, indeed. Now, let's cross over to the United Kingdom, where the bond markets are closely watching the country's prospective next prime minister.
In the UK, the political and economic spotlight is squarely on Andy Burnham, the prospective next prime minister. He's been working diligently to placate bond markets after a period of volatility and a significant sell-off in gilts, which are UK government bonds. Bond markets are incredibly sensitive to political stability and economic policy, and any perceived risk can lead to sharp movements in yields, impacting borrowing costs for the government and, by extension, consumers. Burnham's efforts are aimed at reassuring investors about his economic agenda, fiscal responsibility, and overall leadership capabilities. While gilts have steadied somewhat, the markets remain vigilant, closely scrutinizing every statement and policy proposal from the potential future leader as the country navigates a complex economic environment with inflation concerns and interest rate decisions looming.
The world's financial markets certainly keep a close eye on political transitions. Now, for a unique and inspiring story from Africa, focusing on the remarkable journey of Sierra Leone's First Lady.
This is a truly compelling story, Arjav, revealed in a BBC World Service exclusive. It delves into the private world of one of Africa's most powerful political women, Sierra Leone's First Lady. Her journey is nothing short of extraordinary, from escaping child marriage and, as the article puts it, an old pervert, to ultimately becoming the nation's First Lady. This narrative highlights immense personal resilience and a fight for agency against formidable cultural and societal pressures. Her story is not just one of individual triumph, but also a powerful symbol of progress and the potential for women to overcome profound adversity to reach positions of significant influence. It offers a rare glimpse into the challenges faced by many young girls in various parts of the world and the incredible strength required to break free and forge a new path.
What an incredibly powerful and inspiring personal journey. From the resilience of leadership to the pinnacle of human endurance, we have another inspiring story from the world's tallest peak.
Indeed, Arjav, the indomitable spirit of mountaineering continues to amaze. Kami Rita Sherpa, famously known as the Everest Man, has once again broken his own record, summiting Mount Everest for an astonishing 32nd time. And alongside him, the Mountain Queen, Lhakpa Sherpa, also extended her record, reaching the summit for the 11th time. These achievements are not just about physical endurance. They represent decades of dedication, unparalleled skill, and an intimate knowledge of the world's most challenging mountain. Their repeated ascents are a testament to human perseverance and the ongoing pursuit of personal excellence in the extreme environment of the Himalayas. They truly embody the spirit of pushing boundaries in the natural world.
Truly astonishing feats of human endurance. And from the highest mountains to the biggest stages, another record was recently broken, this time in the world of music.
That's right, Arjav. Bulgaria is celebrating a historic win. Their 27-year-old artist, Dara, arrived back home to screaming fans after her tune, Bangaranga, secured Bulgaria its first ever title in the Eurovision Song Contest. This victory is a monumental moment for the country, sparking national pride and widespread jubilation. Eurovision is not just a music competition, it's a cultural phenomenon that brings nations together, and for a country to achieve its first win is an incredibly significant event. Dara's success reflects not only her talent but also the growing presence of Eastern European artists on the international music scene, bringing diverse sounds and styles to a global audience. The reception she received upon her return perfectly illustrates the profound impact such a cultural achievement can have.
What a fantastic moment for Bulgaria and for Dara. Now, shifting gears to the world of technology, where a recent graduation ceremony saw a surprising reaction to a prominent tech leader.
Yes, Arjav. Former Google CEO Eric Schmidt was reportedly booed by graduates during a recent commencement speech when he mentioned artificial intelligence. This reaction profoundly underscores a growing anxiety among students and the broader public over AI's potential impact on jobs and their future careers. While many tech leaders like Schmidt advocate for the transformative potential of AI, this incident highlights a significant concern among those entering the workforce. Graduates are keenly aware that AI could automate many tasks, potentially displacing human workers or fundamentally altering entire industries. The booing wasn't just a rejection of AI itself, but a vocal expression of fear and uncertainty about their economic prospects in a world increasingly shaped by advanced autonomous systems. It serves as a potent reminder that the societal implications of AI are a deeply felt concern for the next generation.
That's a very telling reaction, reflecting widespread unease about the future of work. And in a more practical application of tech, some developers have found a clever way to combat AI bot spam.
This is an ingenious solution, Arjiv. Developers at Orchestra AI shared how they managed to stop AI bot spam in their GitHub repository by using Git's author flag. Essentially, AI-generated content or spam can sometimes flood collaborative coding platforms, making it difficult for human developers to manage and maintain projects. By leveraging the author flag in Git, which is a version control system, they could filter out or identify commits not made by recognized human contributors. This technique allows them to maintain the integrity of their codebase and ensure that only responsible, verified contributions are integrated. It's a smart, low-tech way to combat a modern problem, showing that sometimes the simplest tools in a developer's arsenal can be the most effective against new forms of digital disruption. This approach is a valuable lesson for many open-source projects struggling with similar issues.
That's a great example of practical problem-solving in the tech world. But despite these advancements, the human impact of AI is becoming very real, especially for employees at tech giants like Meta.
Unfortunately, that's correct, Arjiv. Meta, the parent company of Facebook and Instagram, is starting another round of significant layoffs this week, with approximately 8,000 jobs expected to be cut. These layoffs underscore what many are calling a harsh AI reality, inside Mark Zuckerberg's company. While Meta is investing heavily in AI and the metaverse, these strategic shifts mean a reorganization of its workforce and a greater emphasis on AI-driven roles and technologies. Many employees are bracing for this new era, recognizing that the company's future direction requires a leaner, more specialized workforce, often at the expense of established roles. This move signals a broader trend within the tech industry, where the push for AI integration is leading to substantial workforce restructuring and, for many, job insecurity, even at the largest and most profitable companies.
A stark reminder of the ongoing shifts in the technology sector. And that brings us to the end of today's news briefing. Before we sign off, here's a unique and surprising fun fact for you. Did you know that the national animal of Scotland is the unicorn? Yes, the mythical creature symbolizes purity, innocence, and power. A truly unexpected choice for a national emblem.
What a delightful and unexpected fact, Arjiv. It's always great to discover those hidden gems.
It certainly is. And on that note, thank you for joining us on News Briefing. Arohi, thank you for your incredible insights today.
Always a pleasure, Arjiv.
From all of us here, have a wonderful rest of your day. We'll be back tomorrow with more essential updates.